question for you. First, I want to let people know, if you haven't figured it out already, well, first of all, good morning. If you haven't figured it out already, this is our, we actually do have some traditions. I think they're good ones. This, every time this year, we sort of turn the Sunday morning over to those who attended our teen camp and allow them to share. And remember somebody asked me, not this year, but once they said, oh, so there isn't going to be any teaching? And I said, probably be more teaching than any other Sunday in the course of the year. But I got to ask you, were you hiding out at teen camp yesterday morning?
I was not.
Could you tell the teens the first song you were playing, what it's called?
I Have Decided to Follow Jesus.
Isn't that wild? We talked about that song right before they left camp yesterday.
Did you sing it?
No, oh, I attempted to, but then I just sort of gave them the words. But what, two of us had heard of it before? And Sherry just happened to play it this morning. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? Any particular reason? Just.
Well, Robert had given it to me, and I said I'd work up the music.
Oh, that's great.
And I gave him the music this morning, and I was like, I need to play this.
Isn't that interesting how that all works together? So, good. Do you have the lyrics there on your music?
I don't have the lyrics.
You don't? Okay. Well, sometime we'll get that back in front of you teens. Anyway, oh, man. Where do you begin on this particular camp? This was the far and away the most challenging, difficult camp I've ever been a part of on several different levels. Of course, you're probably familiar with one of those levels. I mean, you know, we start the camp, actually the teen camp, on Friday night when we bring our leaders in, and then the rest of the teens come in on Sunday. And so Friday night, a week ago, of course, as we were bringing the leaders in, trees were falling down around them, power lines were falling down to block the road. We finally got them all in, and then the power went off. And of course, at that camp, when the power goes off, you're not just doing without electricity, you know, you're not just doing without lights, but without water, because all the water is on a pump. So we were hauling water up from the pond in big 5-gallon buckets to flush toilets with and things like that. And it just kept getting better from there. But I'll tell you, the scripture that came to mind that Friday night and kept coming to mind all week long is in Philippians 4. You can turn to it if you want, or just listen if you want. Where it says in Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I was so reminded of that time and time and time and time again over the past week, because, you know, the conditions were far from ideal, you know. And we as Christians don't seek out hardship to prove how loyal we are or something. But when that hardship comes, are we still able to, you know, screw it down and get to work? Are we still able to discipline our minds to listen to God's word, to process God's word, to speak God's word? There's the big question, you know. And like Paul said by Revelation, you know, I know how to do both. When things are great, I don't seek out difficulties. But when things are a little more difficult, it's still Christ, right? It's still God's word. I'm still everything he says I am. And, you know, that's kind of the way the week went. I was so blessed with everyone involved, the teens, the staff, everyone involved, that although we were certainly aware of the circumstances and to some degree affected by the circumstances, they rose above the circumstances. You know, and this is such a big deal, because some of us adults, you know, we love God, we love his word, and as long as I've got all my ducks lined up, as they say, as long as I've got enough sleep, and as long as I'm well fed, and as long as I've got this and this, and my clothes are just right, and then, boy, I'm ready to serve. Great, but what if something happens where you can't get the sleep you need? Does the word of God still come out of your mouth? You know? I've met Christians who say, well, you know, when I don't have enough sleep, I just I get kind of crabby and I get kind of negative and I get, well, how what changed? You see? If that's you, maybe you want to sit down with one of these teens, because they were sure a demonstration to me, and I think to all creation, of how what God's done in Christ doesn't change with circumstances. Maybe a little more challenging, but it doesn't change if we cling to his word, speak his word, believe his word, you know. So as a result, it was just a fantastic week. Our staff as well got challenged. Oh, our first meal. Generally, our first meal is we order pizza from town, and they lied to us and didn't show up. And, you know, we realized suddenly we've got to come up with a meal. And what was great was, of all the years we've done teen camp, I think we probably had the most new staff this year. Am I right? Let's see, Nancy's in here. It was the most new staff this year. So people who weren't used to working together, they had just shown up at the camp. The reason we do pizza is because the staff has just gotten there, and we want to give them a chance to make their beds and things like that. But they hit the camp, and we realized no food. And in about 5 minutes, they threw together a feast. And it was a great opening to the week. And, you know, there were some other times, like I think one morning when you got out the milk for cereal morning, and the milk was all sour, and they made it happen. And, you know, these are small things maybe, but what blessed me is it was really obvious that our adversary, the devil, didn't want this week to go on, didn't want this teaching to be done, and particularly didn't want it to be heard. And it was heard anyway. It was heard anyway because, you know, our staff, our teens, everybody else really rose up and decided to ignore the circumstances and decided the Word of God's still true, you see. So in addition to being the most difficult camp I think I've ever done, there was probably more healing at this camp than I've ever seen. I mean, legitimate, genuine, measurable healing and deliverance in so many lives and growth in so many lives. And it was a thrill to be a part of it. And so I guess, yeah, you guys can line up. Go ahead. Any of you teens who want to share, or any of you staff who want to share, just like we always do, line up along this wall. And as soon as you make some type of comprehensible order, I'll start bringing you up. Anyway, this morning, you know, this was one of those times I wish everybody could have been there with us for the week. Because it was, I was so, as you could tell, I'm still at a loss for words about this week. I'm not usually this tongue-tied on a Sunday morning. I'm just overwhelmed by, first and foremost, seeing what our Heavenly Father will do when we choose to believe His Word. And so many of these young men and women did choose to believe His Word, and they'll tell you about it. Boy, it's like the whole camp up here. I guess everybody's got something to share. So I'm going to let them go, and if I have something to say in between, I'll jump up and interrupt you like I always do. But how about if you just come up and tell us who you are, tell us how old you are, tell us how many years you've been going to teen camp, if this was your first year, second year, 15th year, and if there are any staff who want to share, you can skip the age requirement if you want. And so, Teen Camp 2012, give them all a big hand.
Hi, my name is Lauren Donahue. I'm 19. This is my sixth year at Teen Camp. And I really didn't want to be first, but nobody else wanted to go. So this year, I'm really nervous, and that might be why I'm crying, but it's also maybe not. But this year I got so blessed with the power that God has given us, and the fact that, you know, He doesn't leave us on our own or expect us to figure it out on our own, but I realized that this week that I was really settling for what I thought I was capable of. I was forgetting that I'm a new creation in Christ. I don't have to be what I used to be. I don't have to be shy or afraid of the power I've been given. But I can claim it as my own. Okay. I can be what God has made me to be and not be afraid or back down, but I was just so amazed by what God has made available for me to serve in the body in any capacity. Thanks. You know, it's not humility to think you've only got what you think you've got. It's humility to realize what God has made you capable of and to rise up to that. And that's what I got blessed with this week.
My name is David Gilbert. This is my sixth year at teen camp, and I'm 20 years old. This week, I think I can safely say that I've experienced more growth than I ever had at teen camp before. And I think it's a testimony of how faithful God is to honor us when we come to him with a humble heart. And early on, my fellowship leader in the week just exhorted me to spend a lot of time in prayer and in the Word and not talk myself out of getting the time I need with the Heavenly Father. Because at teen camp, even though we're out in the woods with a bunch of believers, there's still many distractions there. And it's easy to talk yourself out of getting the time you need with the Father. So this week I really just spent a lot of time in prayer and getting my heart right with God. And I don't know where the verse is located, but in his presence is the fullness of joy. You know, just that even if I'm just reading for 10 minutes about how good God is, I can meditate on that throughout my day, you know, and just it's so easy for our minds to start thinking about the world and to get off track from God, but just taking the time to line your thoughts back up with God. You know, like Colossians 3 says, setting your affections on the things above. And I just saw a lot of pride in my heart this week when operating manifestations, when even how I dealt with believers, there was a lot of selfishness, a lot of pride, a lot of self-centeredness in my heart because I just did it for attention. Even service can turn into something that's an abomination to God when we're just making it about ourselves. When I'm speaking in tongues, if I just care about how spiritual people think I am, so I'm faking it. Number one, God isn't going to be glorified in that situation. Number two, even if it sounds good when I'm faking manifestations, people aren't getting what they need to hear for that exact moment in time. And number three, kind of like Warren was saying, how am I ever going to rise up to what God's called me to be if I'm settling for something that's so far contrary to the word? You know, if I'm just happy living pridefully and doing everything for me, when am I ever going to rise up to do how God wants things to be done, you know, if I'm content living down here? And I just, I saw God's faithfulness huge just when we're honest with him, with our hearts, like honest with everything that's in our heart. And it comes down to knowing that you're righteous, because if I don't know that I'm completely cleansed, that if I walk away from God for the rest of my life, he's still going to be just as pleased with me and love me just as much as he is right now. If I don't know that, I'm not going to be able to go to God and give him my heart, because I'm going to be afraid. I know so much. So often, if I don't read my Bible for a week, it makes me afraid to approach God. I feel uncomfortable because I think he thinks less of me or feel like less of a believer. But that's just the adversary robbing me from even more time with the Father. That we can be completely honest with our God, with anything that's in our heart, with any pride that's there, with any weakness, because we are completely righteous in Christ's blood. And I just saw that really huge this week, and I got really blessed. So.
Hi, everybody. My name is Abby Bailey. I am 19 years old. I've been going to teen camp for, I believe, 7 years. And I had the immense honor and privilege to be a fellowship leader this year. And on Friday, Tom gave us a little bit of some instruction with what we were going to do to bless the believers that were there and kind of show everyone what we had learned that week. And this verse from 1 John 4 popped into my head. It was verse 19, we love him for he loved us. And then back up in verse 10 of 1 John 4, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. And I didn't really understand why, because we had been looking at the manifestations all week. And then God just showed me, like, it's because of my love. And so I, and the amazing saints that I got to fellowship with a little bit closer this week, just put together little things to show how the love of God had affected us, had changed us, had delivered us this week. So this is going to be a little bit unusual, but it's just like a little blurb of spoken word of what the love of God delivered me from this week. Says, every day I heard from the world, but mainly myself, you're worthless, plain and simple, unlovable to the core. But God's love had already taken me from the grave to in his grace. And I can remember these things are true of me. I can look at the sum of what I've done and know it holds no weight. I'm still washed of those things. The price was already paid. And there's more. I have a Father whose love and power never fail, a Lord who died for me and isn't ashamed that I bear his name, a body of saints where I'm loved in spite of all my sin, and a message to give the broken dead, you too can be made whole. Awesome power within me, I don't ever have to fear. I know God's love for me, that in Christ I am secure, I am loved and accepted. I will never be rejected by God who's elected me. And when those thoughts of my self-worth, good or bad, come back, I'll prove I have God's spirit and God's never taking it back. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Maddie Mraz. I am 16 and this is my third year at teen camp. I was definitely really, really blessed this week. Wow. And really, especially by my fellowship. The fellowships were just, they seemed like, at first when you got in them, that they were kind of random, but then you realized throughout the week that, no, they were not random at all. And I did see God's love greater, especially this week. And something my fellowship leader told me is that something that really blessed me at the end of the week was that there's nothing you can do that can make God love you any less. And that's something that I'm trying to gonna live off of for a long time. But we also did kind of sum up what we learned this week on Friday. And I did kind of like a little poem. That's what I'm going to share. I was stuck in such a dark place for far too long. No hope or light could shine through. I felt as if I wasn't worthy of anyone's love until I registered the written truth. It's not because I love myself enough, but because a sister loved me more. Pricked by the fact that God loved us first, she could see that I was torn. So now, even though it seems strictly impossible, all dark things are cast away. Finally, I'm not just living, but living in God's love eternally, because that's the only good way. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Kristen Kelly. I'm 21 years old, and this was my ninth year at teen camp. Kind of cheating, but that's okay. One of the biggest things that hit me this week was when Josh Thomas did a teaching on 1 Corinthians 13, and I was very reproved. And where it says, you know, though I give my body to be burned, though I do so many things but have love, I'm nothing. I got really reproved by that. And I was in Abby's fellowship too, which both of them were. And at the end of the week, I put down on paper something that really hit me. It's going to be really hard. It's weird being this honest in front of the whole church. Okay. Buried hate in my heart for weeks and weeks, looking for sin in your life to feed the anger inside, and convince myself that it's not my job to change. If I don't love my brother, how can I say I love a God I can't see? How can I show God's love to this heartless world if I can't love someone who's part of me? I try to stand up straight, but I'm pierced to the heart by your word and fall to my knees. I can serve and serve and try and try, but without your love, I'm nothing. God, break me down. I beseech you to help me, because there's no way to fix this by my own strength. Oh God, your grace, You speak clearly as day. I love because you first loved me. And now I'm free to give like you've given to me. And so I realized that I had a lot of stuff in my heart that I didn't quite know was there or was content with pretending like it wasn't there if nobody saw. But it's a choice to forgive. It's a choice. And if you let these evils rack up in your heart about your fellow brothers and sisters, it's going to rip the body of Christ apart. And we can't afford to lose one because of that. You can't... how well are you going to run without a foot? How well are you going to live without an arm? So it's a decision to look at the sin in your own life first and foremost, and the life of the person sitting next to you, and remember that it's nailed to the cross, and you leave it there. So.
Hi, my name is William Browder. I'm 19, and I've been to teen camp for 6 years. I really got delivered from something this week. As you've heard, there was great power despite the circumstances that was taught and showed. And I'm thankful enough that someone was willing to act on it. Give me a second. I got delivered from a devil spirit this week. It was stopping me from renewing my mind and remembering God's word. And it had been there for a while. But I'm just so thankful that someone was able to step up and take God at his word and actually walk out in the power we've been given. This is real, you know. God's word has real power that we can really operate right here, right now, the second we're born again. And I have just been so thankful for everyone who is there. And I really just implore you to look to the word and look to God with an expectation of seeing that power, and don't let fear stop you from walking out in it. There can be so much glory shown to this body and to everyone out in the world when you really operate these things with the full trust in God and knowing that just knowing that he is always there and his power is always going to be there when you trust in it and when you are willing to take that first step. So that's what hit me in teen camp. Thank you.
I'm Cassie Jobin. I'm 17, and this was my fifth year at teen camp. At the beginning of the week, Angeline was my fellowship leader, and she encouraged us all to get really honest, which that can be really, really uncomfortable. I got really honest with God and with where my heart was, and my heart was completely full of fear. And I think it was Angeline again who said, I can pray about it all I want. I can go to the word about it all I want. But if I don't step out and trust God, if I don't give him a chance to prove himself and his faithfulness to me, that fear is just going to continue. And if I'm waiting to feel confident or to be 100% certain before I do something for God, nothing's ever going to get done. But just getting honest with myself and seeing that fear, it's given me already opportunities to just walk out on God's word and not shy away or sweep things under the rug because I was afraid or just, we can do so much for each other and for the body of Christ if we just honestly look to our own hearts and just love each other with the love that we've been given and if I'm not loving you guys, and then I'm going to let that fear stop me from what needs to be done. I don't know. That really got taken care of on my heart this week, the fear. That's all.
Hi, I'm Nikki Demaray. I'm 20 years old. I've been going to this particular teen camp for 4 years. You know what? Throughout this last week, I've just been able to see some things with clarity that I've never seen before. I was not being honest with my heart before God, and I was letting the stupidest things get in the way. At the beginning of the week, I was looking at trees, and I just realized that I breathe oxygen. I breathe out carbon monoxide, and they breathe oxygen. And I just looked at the Father who loves me so much, and he loved this world so much. He set up this world to be used and to be beautiful and to be practical. And then I realized, I have a greater sign that God loves us. I looked at his son. God has always wanted a relationship with us. And we have that through Jesus Christ. He sent his beloved son so that we could have this. What more sign do we need that God loves us? But he gives us more. He gives us his word. He gave us this body. We can be completely taken care of through him. And in anything, we can turn to God in prayer. We don't need to hold anything back from God. He knows you fully, but he wants you to give it all to him and to be able to walk with him. And I've really seen with clarity that through the accomplished work of Jesus Christ, I have been made able. Despite what my experiences might tell me and what I might have seen in my life before, when I choose to believe what the word tells me, when I choose to believe what I've been given through Jesus Christ, I have power. I can serve the body. I can make light. I can let my light shine in this dark world, not because of my own power, because I know very well that I'm not great. But God chose to let us come to him when we were his enemies and make us into his beloved children. And we have been given things that are profitable. They are meant to be profitable, given to us by a loving God. And they can be used. And God wants us to use them. And you know what? This isn't any great task. Like, really, the work has been accomplished. We just need to rest in it. And I can continue to turn to God. And he can help me, and he can show me my heart, and he can help me turn once again to his son, Jesus Christ, and realize what has been accomplished in that, and what I have been made. Thank you.
I'm Ashton Smith. I'm 18, and I've been going to teen camp. This is my fourth year. And like Nikki was talking about, the clarity that really came from looking at God's word and looking at myself honestly. I realized a long time ago that there's not really any solace in this world. There's nothing that is, well, tangible, for lack of a better word, something I can hold on to and that'll keep me satisfied. But I still wasn't doing God's will. And I realized that that's because I wasn't believing his word either. And just realizing the faithfulness of God and how just a little bit of believing, God can work with that. And he can increase that believing. He can increase, you can grow, really, is what I'm trying to say. You can become more aware of the spiritual world and less aware of the physical world, because the physical world doesn't hold anything. The real reality we need to focus on is the things of God. And that's just been amazing. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Sarah McCracken. I'm 18, and this was my fifth year at teen camp. Going into the week, I thought I was going to be learning a lot just on the manifestations of the Spirit. But I realized after I just took some time with God and really examined my heart, it was much more than that. Because, yes, God has given us the Spirit, but he's also done it for love for us. And that's one thing I've really seen in my heart. And when it comes to the things of God and things of the Spirit, if love's not in it, then it's not going to be profitable for the body and for myself too. And he sent his son for love too. And it was for, one thing I also realized, it wasn't just for someone, but we were all sinners. We were just unsaved sinners then, but God knew some of us would become saved sinners. And this morning when we were singing Chief of Sinners, I realized that's who I was. I was the chief of sinner. But it's because of, like, one of the lines is, oh, the height of Jesus' love. And also, it's because of God's love that he gave his son for us. And that's just one thing I realized, and it's because when he gave his son for us, we were able to get the Spirit and were able to manifest it. And my natural ability will never amount up to anything, but God's given us his love, his love is going to go on for eternity. And the things of the Spirit, one day they will, like, they'll pass on, but the love of God will always endure for eternity, and it says that in his word, and I know that for a surety. And I just really saw the love of God even bigger this week, and that's one thing I wanted to share.
Hi, my name is Catherine Tierney, and this was my fifth year at teen camp. In the beginning, and the first teaching that Tom did, he was talking about how, like, with the Holy Spirit and the Word, they both have so much more effect when they're used together. And for a long time, I felt like I was okay just using my Spirit, and I wasn't reading the Word as much. And this week just showed me how much more powerful it is. And we have a perfect Spirit. God knows everything that's in our hearts, and he's always so patient with us, no matter how many times we mess up. And the thing that really blessed me this week is realizing just how much power that God has entrusted us with. In one of the teachings, Josh was talking about Elijah and Elisha and how Elijah had just one portion of the Spirit, but Elisha was given a double portion and with Jesus Christ. He's just been given the entire package, and everything that he has, we have. And like an analogy I heard someone use was how like Elijah has like one cup of Gatorade and Elisha has two cups of Gatorade. And with Jesus Christ, it's where they just take the whole thing, just pour it all on him. And we have all of that. And I was reading, like in the week, I was reading in Mark where it talked about the man that had the legion of devil spirits in him. And when Jesus was about to cast them out, they were practically like begging him not to cast them out into the country. And Jesus cast them out into the swine. And I was just amazed how like all these devil spirits, and like the devil is afraid of us to believe God. That is what he tries to attack us with. But we have all of those things under our feet. When we're really believing God, we can manifest all the power that he's given us. And I was just amazed by how, in comparison, how like devil's spirits, they just seemed like so scary, and like they have a lot of power, but we have so much more power. And we have all the authority to do it when we believed on Jesus Christ. And like we learned about how powerful his name is. And like through Jesus Christ's name, we have the power. We have the power to manifest all of the manifestations that God's given us. And Christ did all of the hard work. All we have to do is believe and speak his word to people. And God has so well equipped us to do all of those things. And that's what's blessed me at teen camp.
Good morning, everyone. My name's David Bailey. I'm 16. This is my fourth year. It's nice to see you guys. Missed you a lot. The deliverance that happened at this camp, it was beautiful. The amount of people that were so taken care of, that just had things lifted off their hearts and off their minds that they never even knew were there. It was an amazing thing, but what was really more amazing is the, you know, good amount of teens, young kids that learned the voice of God. And that is a life-changing thing. Learning the difference between maybe just reading the word and really having, letting God work something in your heart. And I think this happened a lot because we really just shut up and let God work. And that that was amazing. And there's this thing I noticed that I tend to do a lot that God helps me with, is when I say something in conversation with another believer that I don't actually believe, and then God shows me that. Like, I was talking to a couple people just about how simple working these manifestations are, how simple walking in the Spirit can be. And as soon as I said it, I was like, do I live like this is simple? You know, do I see someone that needs to be healed and think just the same way as if I needed to speak in tongues? Is it that instant, you know? So I knew then that that's what, you know, God was going to be working in my heart that week. And it was just every teaching, no matter what it was about, it was just something coming back to how simple it was, because it's through Christ and not through us, you know, because it's through God's power and not through our own. And it all came together on a Friday morning. We were singing the song Unafraid, and these guys probably don't want to hear it because I've told like every single one of them, but, you know, Unafraid, it speaks to the simplicity, you know. Do we see the world and see the challenges of it and see the scrutiny and the judgment and decide that that's more important, than what God says, you know. And whether we're out there carnally minded or not, God's still behind us. Do we realize that that's more important or not? And, you know, that hit me so hard. And then after that, after I realized that God was really, really working that in my heart, I was reading in Hebrews. You guys don't have to turn there if you want. I'm reading like two verses. Hebrews 13, because I read through Hebrews 11, you know, that great section about all these great men of God in the Old Testament and the faith that they had. And that was a huge theme through this week, was faithful people, you know, learning to be faithful and reading through that, seeing these great men. But they didn't have what we have. They didn't receive the promises that God endeavored to give us and that we do have now. And it was just so amazing. And there in 13:5, you know, God says to be content with the things that we have, which is ridiculous because he had just gone through this whole chapter of all these great men who didn't have what we have because they couldn't. And now we have it. And I was thinking, why does God have to tell us to be content with this? But that's just us. That's our human nature. You know, we have to think of how amazing this is. And then in verse 6, well, I guess in second half of verse 5, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men shall do unto me. Oh man, that's life changing. And you know, the devil did not want this week to happen, and you could see it in what happened before, and with even in the first day still coming at all the first day back coming at all of us, but we can see that the Lord is our helper, and that's more important. So I implore you guys to please be praying for a lot of the teens, because there's a lot going on in our lives right now, because the devil does not want these truths to become permanent in our minds and hearts. So, thanks. I love you guys.
Way to share. You guys remember when you come up here, how all week you were thinking about, boy, when I get back, I'm going to be bold. Here's your chance, okay? I bring that up because this next young man is pretty shy. He actually is a survivor of trench warfare in teen camp for years and years and years, to the point where he now runs it with a little help from me. And so I want to introduce you especially, because Josh won't tell you how he did half the teachings and he's in charge of the week and all that. So I will. So Josh Thomas.
Yeah, I've been to a few teen camps, and I can honestly say that this was, if not the most amazing week of my life, you know, right up there on the list. And you know, I know that doesn't necessarily do much for you, but what I just want to share with you that, you know, God can do that for you too, right? Like, because Galatians 6 says that every man is to prove his own work, and then he shall have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, and every man shall bear his own burden. And that's a good thing, because we all, you know, we can bear each other's burdens. We can get excited about others that have experienced deliverance, others that have seen the hand of God work. And that's a wonderful thing. We do joy and rejoice with one another when we see deliverance in other people's lives, and when we see others operating the power of God. But God's not a respecter of persons. And, you know, like I said, I was so blessed with what Cassie shared. Because for me, I realized there was a few areas of my life where there was still some fear. There was still some hesitancy when it came to operating all nine manifestations. And boy, as soon as that became, you know, this week was a trying time for a lot of us. And there was a purification of faith, which is a good thing, right? That when, okay, here's my life, here's what the Word of God says, when you're put in those situations and you where that's tried, that's a good thing. That's a precious thing. I think it talks about in Peter that the trying of our faith is precious. And so, but it was so awesome because just like with Cassie, as soon as that came to light and I was willing to say, this is a fear and I don't want to have this fear, God had two or three things right there. Okay, how about this? And there was opportunities to move forward and to see the power of God, because God wasn't waiting. I was waiting. There was a hesitancy on my part. There was a fear on my part. And as soon as that became clear to me and I was willing to get honest with it and not run from it, there was some really cool stuff that happened. So again, I know that happened for me. That happened for, but that can happen for you because God's not a respecter of persons. So God bless you all.
I realize I probably need to mention this morning, a number of our people sharing have been vague about what, they've talked about changes and deliverances and things like that. And they've been a little vague about the specifics. That's intentional. This week we studied the nine manifestations, but we also ended up operating those nine manifestations a lot. And, some of those manifestations include the working of miracles, healing, as by operation of those manifestations, casting out of spirits, things like that. When those things occur, you don't stand up in front of people and give them the blow-by-blow specifics. That's between the person ministering the power of God, the person getting the deliverance, and God himself. So we can share a lot of God's word, but when you're wondering what's this vague thing that happened? Well, it's something along those lines, okay? I think the great learning, like Josh kind of summed up, is that even if we were to give you the detailed occurrences in each person's life, which we're not going to, that's still someone else's, not yours. But the great lesson, I think, is that by believing God's word, we can all personally experience God. Instead of making up, instead of blaming things on God, I had a cold and somebody prayed for me and 2 months later it went away, so thanks, God. I mean, I understand the heart behind that. We want to give God credit, but when you see real deliverance, and I'll clarify. Here we go. This is like all week long, because when you get into this field, it's so easy for people to take you to one extreme or the other, okay? I understand, for example, when it comes to healing, if you're healed, maybe the symptoms don't go away immediately. If you can't hear, and I minister healing to you, and your sinuses start draining, it might be a few days before those ears start working perfectly. I understand that. But if you read God's word, there's also, every once in a while, there's something measurably, visibly, transformation, spirits cast out, the kind of healing that happens instantaneously. You can't get around the fact that that's a big part of God's word. And it's not something we brag about, it's not something we lust after, but for goodness sake, if we spend a lifetime walking with God Almighty and don't have at least a few of those things living in our souls, then maybe it's because of this fear so many of these kids are talking about. And I think for so many this week, the realization finally struck that, hey, this stuff's never going to happen to me if I don't stand up and grip my teeth and walk out and do what I've been reading in the Word since I was 3 years old. It's no big secret. There it is. I can talk about it. I can teach it. I can write songs about it. When am I going to just live it? And then have proof in myself of what God has done. So again, if some of these sharings are a little vague to you, that's the reason why. But I think it ought to be obvious. Some great deliverance took place on a number of levels, and certainly one of those being that we had some unwanted, unregistered campers who went home during the course of the week, and I'm thankful for that. If you know what I mean. So, Oh, who's next? Angeline. Okay, Angeline Burke.
Hi, I'm Angeline. I'm 21, and this is my eighth year, I think. Cassie was in my fellowship, so it might be a little repetitive because a lot of the things that I shared with them were things that God was showing in my heart. But I came into the weekend, the leaders' weekend, and kind of saw my fellowship and was really confused. And I am most years, but this year especially, it just did not make sense to me. And I prayed about it, and I still didn't really make sense to me when they came in the week and the first couple of days. I was still kind of like, I don't know what's going on. And then God showed me a lot about my life, and then it just kind of lit up. You know, the things going on in my life are the same things they were going through. You know, the fear that God's showing me in my heart is the same thing going on in all their lives. And I just this week I saw the difference between being honest with my weaknesses and fear.
She just reminded me of something. This is for those who are part of this church, anybody who's visiting today or listening to the CD, or this isn't to you, so don't worry. But something I've this is reproof time, okay? If you're visiting and deciding whether you want to come to this church or not, this will be the proof that it's far from a perfect church. So if that's what you're looking for, been nice to know you, because we're not. But, you know, something that came up several times in talking to the teens this week regarding healing in particular. And, you know, they learned it from some of the adults, where a teen would have a physical need and they were told by adults to find someone with a ministry of healing. Oh, that troubled me greatly. Do you need a ministry to heal somebody? No. Now, there are those who have ministries in the area of healing, but primarily the benefit of a ministry of healing is to help the church grow more confident in their operation of healing. One of the people they told me had a ministry of healing. I never see them. I guess you have to go to them. And I asked, well, someone else asked on my behalf, how do you know they've got a ministry of healing even? They said, well, they said so. They tell everybody they got a ministry of healing.
What?
I got to stay behind the mics here, don't I? Well, I could have said a bad word over there. You wouldn't have heard it. Look, most of you know are familiar with God's word. You're familiar with Romans. You're familiar with Ephesians. You know about ministries in the body of Christ. You know every single born-again one has a particular ministry in the body of Christ. You don't have one because you appoint yourself with one. In fact, God's word has quite a bit to say about those who do hang out their sign and say, I'm a prophet, I'm a healer, I'm this, I'm that. They're usually sorely misled at the very least. And very ready to mislead you. But particularly when it comes to healing. Now, again, are there those with ministries of healing? Yeah, there's several here today. I thank God for them because by their example, they've helped others grow in confidence. Okay? But ministries in the body, those with those ministries, aren't the only ones who can do the job. You know? If you've got a ministry of showing comfort, fantastic. And, you know, if you're in the room when I need some comfort, I'll probably come to you first. But the other great way the church benefits from that is that while you're busy here in the church and with God's people giving them comfort, it reminds me to comfort my brothers and sisters. It reminds them to comfort me. See, it's more than just the output of one person's life. If you need to be healed and somebody tells you, then you need to find someone with a ministry of healing, you know what they're probably telling you? I'm scared to do it. Well, let's not be scared to do that which Christ died for, that we might have. He said we're here to take his place. God's equipped us to take his place. And like all these guys, I'm saying nothing new here, but how dare I consciously shelve that because of my fear and say, oh, well, yeah, you need to find somebody with here's a card. I got ministry of healing. No. And again, you know, I no criticism here for anybody who truly does have that ministry, and some do, but they'll be the first to tell you they ain't the only ones who can heal you. In fact, they do more good for the church by inspiring others to rise up and do exactly what we should all be doing for each other. So she just reminded me of that. I mean, that's, you know, fear, when fear goes that far, fear causes you to change the word of God. That's why I'm concerned. It's one thing for an individual to say, you know, I'm not sure if I can heal that person. Okay, well then get your head in God's word. Start believing God's word. That'll come. But for your fear to be so great that you will change God's word to accommodate your fear, that, ladies and gentlemen, is unacceptable. It's one, like we talked all week long with the teens about lowering the word of God to my level of unbelief. As painful as it is to realize I didn't believe the word, I uphold the standard of God's word, and then someday I or someone else can rise to it, right? But if I lower the word of God to the level of my unbelief, there's nothing left to rise to. How dare I change God's word? Because I'm afraid. So somebody tries to do that, you know what to tell them, right? Thus saith the Lord. It is written. Yeah, you bet. And so here I am preaching again. So, but what Angeline shared just reminded me of that. And it needs to be said because, you know, perhaps we have fears, and we're aware of them. We desire to overcome them. Fantastic. You continue in the Word of God, you'll overcome every one of those fears. But I have to get involved when something like occurs to the end that someone's willing to change God's Word. For example, by saying, you can't get healed unless you go to someone who has a ministry of healing. That's a lie. And how dare you take God's words and turn them into a lie simply because you're afraid to do that which he's given you to do. So there's my reproof to the church, okay? Received? Okay, good. Missy, lay it on him. Okay.
Hi, I'm Missy O'Donnell. I'm 18 years old, and this is my seventh year at teen camp. And during the second day, we got summer temeries. And typically, I don't memorize them and stuff. I, like, look at them and I get blessed by them. But my fellowship leader this year, who is Zach McCaw, he just pointed out that we could look at these retemeries and just be reminded of the teachings and be reminded of what we were getting taught, pretty much. But there was one that was 1 Corinthians 14:12. And it's in the NET, and it says, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, seek to abound in order to strengthen the church. And I really just saw that I was eager for the manifestations of the Spirit. I was eager to hear God's voice, to do what I read about in Acts and in the church epistles. And I was eager to prove God on my own and to prove God to myself. But this verse blessed me so much because we had a teaching of what the manifestations are and what they're not. And I just got really blessed seeing that I could change my heart and seek to abound in order to strengthen the church, that I could manifest the love of God to all of you whenever I speak in tongues and interpret, or when I prophesy, or when I do anything by the direction of God, when I'm listening to him. And during the week, I think I saw 1 Corinthians 13 a lot more than ever before, and I understood why God put it between 12 and 14. And it talks about how in verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 13, it says, charity, love never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And I was kind of looking at this verse, and I was like, well, prophecies and tongues, like, we need those so much. And we do, like, not saying that we do, that we don't, but they're going to fall away. They're going to fail. They're going to cease when Jesus Christ comes back. Like, but the love of God isn't. Like, the love of God that I can manifest to the church right now is like a little slice of eternity. It's something that we all can realize that this is going to be true for all of eternity, that I can listen to God, that I can walk with God and take care of people. And there was a lot of deliverance this week, and just hearing stories and sharing and being able to rejoice with fellow saints about the deliverance in other people's lives, I was able to see the love of God that they were shown. I was able to see the little part of eternity that God wanted to give us, that God wanted to show to us, that God wanted to bless us with. Because when these manifestations are done in love and they are done to edify the church and to strengthen the church, the love of God is shown in your life, and whenever you rejoice with other believers, it's shown in your life too. Like, you just get to see it. And I was really blessed, and it's something that I'm going to seek to abound more in, that I can strengthen the church whenever I listen to God and not just strengthen myself. So.
Just want to mention at this point, it's obvious to me we're going to go over time today. If any of you have to leave, God bless you. Great to have you. If you need to get up and use the facilities, fantastic. But we're going to. It would be wrong for me to stop anytime soon and not let these folks share what God's working on their hearts. So for those who can, we're going to keep rolling here this morning, okay? Come on, Molly.
Hi, everyone. My name is Molly Bradley. I'm 19 years old, and this is my third year at teen camp. One of the very first things that was said during the week was, this walk, this life that we have, should be with the Word of God and with the power of God. And before coming into teen camp, I had no problem when a brother or sister in Christ needed it, telling them the Word of God. But as far as walking in the power of God, the Spirit of God that we have, it was a little more fuzzy. I realized that a lot of what I was doing was guesswork. And it's not that God had never communicated to me before, because he had, but I had to pick through every other voice that was going on in my brain, and sometimes I'd do the will of God, and sometimes I wouldn't. And I had the amazing, amazing privilege of being a fellowship leader this week, and after the first time meeting with my fellowship, I'm not going to lie, I was terrified, because I realized I couldn't get through it with guesswork anymore, and I saw the need of the people that were in my fellowship, and that I couldn't do this by guessing. And I was sitting there about to cry, and thankfully one of my brothers in Christ asked me if I needed to pray, and I said I did. And he reminded me how the ways of God are simple, and if what's going on in my brain, if what I'm doing is somehow complex, something needs to change. And the next day there was a teaching, and a teaching about the revelation manifestations, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. And it was amazing, because I realized how clear the voice of God could be. And one of the things that was talked about was, at the beginning of the day, making sure that you were open to hear what God needed to be done, what you needed to hear from God that day. And suddenly, I was able to just hear things from God that I just got to experience the voice of God like I'd never had before. And it was incredible. And there were some things that God needed me to do, and I would have no idea. Sometimes I needed to walk up to a brother and sister in Christ and say something. Sometimes I needed to do something during fellowship, and I had no idea why. And but I did it because it was my Father's will, and I knew confidently that it was my Father's will. And never been this nervous to share before. And sometimes there was that immediate fruit of seeing my brother or sister in Christ being blessed. And sometimes there wasn't. Sometimes they had no idea why I was telling them what I was telling them. But from that, I got to see that there's not immediate fruit. Sometimes there is, but I get, like, in my life, I can get so much joy of knowing that I'm doing my Father's will. And this life truly can be with power. And I was just blown away by that this week and seeing how the Word of God and the Spirit of God we've been giving just work together just so flawlessly. And so that's what I had to share. Thank you.
Okay, here. I can't hold back on that. Well, that was, see, folks, this is what so many of these guys mean by the love of God. The love of God. The love of God gets you honest. If I'm walking in love and I'm looking at genuine need, I can't bring myself to fake it anymore. That's what we learned, I think, every one of us this week. That, boy, if I'm walking in love, if I'm walking in love, love can't fake it. Not that it's not able to, but when you're really looking at the need of the world with love, how can you be so low as to bring yourself to pretend to be walking with God, pretend to know what you're doing? We just have to fall before our Heavenly Father and say, help my unbelief. And that's what so many of us learned this week, that kind of love gets you brutally honest with yourself. And because you know you're righteous, you can be brutally honest with yourself. And sometimes what you see is, I've got to grow a lot. But then to hold up God's word, like you were talking about, and not settle for less than what the word says. You know, knowing the voice of God to the end of when you've done it, whether there's fruit or not, you know it was God's voice. Far too many Christians do something, then the fruit comes and they say, oh, that must have been God. No, that's not the standard for sons and daughters. We can know. And that kind of love makes us honest enough that we'll do what it takes to know, right? Thanks for sharing that. Okay.
Hi, I'm Nancy Luden. I'm not sure. I think this was my ninth year at teen camp. And it was. It was an amazing time. One of the things that I saw bigger and kind of smacks you in the face, Josh did a teaching, and he used a real simple analogy about the gift that we've been given. And he talked about, you know, if there's a storm and he tosses his keys to Angeline, and she goes and runs out the door with the keys and then goes sits in the car and fiddles with the radio and plays around and with it, but never asked him, what do you want me to do? That's similar to what we've got. We can operate this gift that we've been given, but we do it in conjunction with our Father, with our Lord. He has direction. He has information for us. And there's too many times when, I know for me, I just float along and don't check in. And then you spend a week doing that, or a month doing that, or maybe a year doing that, and pretty soon you wake up and say, wow, well, that was... why did I waste all that time? And look at what could I have been doing? And, well, now I can't. And you come up with all kinds of excuses to accuse yourself with why you can just continue to be sidelined. We don't want to do that with this gift that we've been given. We have an accuser, and he does a good job of it. We don't want to take that job. Every morning's new. Every day is new. Every moment's new. And that's one of the things that I just keep trying to bring to mind, that, okay, I messed up here. I can now go back to my father and say, good morning. What do you have for me today? I want to do this with you, with the Spirit of God that you've given, and bring deliverance that is tangible, that, and like so many of us were talking about, the love of God overriding all of that. There was nobody by the end of the week, at least that I heard, that was, oh, I can't wait to deal with these things or these devil spirits or that stuff. It was, oh, I have these so that I can give someone a taste of the good God that we love. Oh, that's worth doing. That's worth fighting for, and not allowing your past mistakes to sit there and pile up and just sit back and, oh, somebody else will do it. We have this now. We have the ability to do this now. And the results of which last for eternity. So that was it.
Hello, my name is Molly Mraz. This is my second year at teen camp. The thing that really blessed me this week was just looking at our authority and how awesome that really is. Tom taught on the name of Jesus Christ, and I want to read a verse. It's okay. It's Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. And power is better translated authority. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And that's like better translated, like, in my name, the bottom part of that. And I thought this was really cool. Like, I've always taken that for granted. Like, yeah, we have Christ's authority. But, like, through his name and, like, the resources and accomplishments that are in his name, like when we say, in the name of Jesus Christ, it's so much bigger than that. And, like, the authority we have, it's crazy. Like, casting out devil spirits and healing, like, all of us, even just young children. I've been thinking about that, and I've never really thought about, like, the power the devil has. Like, it's really real. And, I mean, through our authority, it's all under our feet. Everything on this world is just beneath us. In, like, the devil's really tried to mess with us this week. Like, besides the obvious reasons, like, when I came in, I had physical issues or whatever, and those were just, you know, healed, and I helped other people get healed this week, and I don't know, I've been just thinking about how great this authority we have is, and our fellowship wrote a song, and I want to just read the last verse, because it's really simple, but I don't know, it's like a sum of, I guess, what blessed me this week. He carried all our pain and strife and gave us his authority, and now I give him my whole life. In him is my identity, in Christ the Lord, and only he. And that's what I wanted to share.
Hi, I'm Shannon McCracken, and I'm 14, and this is my second year going to teen camp. I don't really know where to start with this, because there's a lot I realized in my life that I had been doing wrong or just not doing God's will. And I go to school, and I tend to forget who my identity is in, and I just get caught up with the fleshly things of this world. And, you know, God didn't send his son to die for me to act like I live in this world. He wanted me to be more than a conqueror and not just become comfortable with where I'm at. And I know Tom had said something in his teaching that we have to get out of our comfort zone. And, you know, we have to just be what God made us to be and not go back to living like, I mean, like, you go to these camps and you get so blessed, and then we go back and after a few weeks, you just start living like you were before. But then the whole entire week you spent, what did you spend it doing? Like, you spent it learning the word, but a month later, you don't even see any difference than how you were living before. And, like, I don't want to do that again. Like, I want to go back and change the way I was living. And, I mean, just what God gave us, it's, I don't know, it's so powerful. But, you know, we have to recognize that it was through Christ that we have our authority. And it's not on our own. We don't walk out in this world and do things with our own power, forgetting who, like, God made us to be and who God sent his son for. And I don't know, in the Old Testament, they had spirit. And in this New Testament, we have a lot more spirit than they did. Like, Christ got the full measure of spirit, and we have that too. And just in the Old Testament, you can see how humble their hearts were and how much they wanted to serve God. But, you know, this time now, there's not many people that you look to that have that same heart. And I just, I don't know. That's just, I want to get up to that point. But, I don't know. And then another thing I realized was how important revelation was, that, you know, so often I just closed my mind off to what God wanted me to do. And because that was what I was comfortable with. You know, I was comfortable with not listening to God and just not living like I should be. God can show us things that can really profit us and other believers. And I don't know, another thing I realized this week was how important prayer was. I know I really enjoy nature, and I go out on walks and stuff. But, you know, my fellowship leader was saying that I should go to the prayer room sometime because it was made for me, like, to go there. And it has this peaceful, like, feeling to it. It's got, you know, it was made for God's people to, you know, really talk to God. And so I went there, and I realized how blessed I was when I was there. And I just kept going, and it's like, God wants us to come to him, and, you know, and we can ask anything in the name of Jesus Christ, and he'll give it to us. And, I mean, we may be at a really low level or low knowledge with God right now, but we can ask for his understanding, and he's just going to give us that, and he's going to give us more. And I just, I don't know, I'm amazed at how, you know, one little small piece of believing, and God can work with that. And he can just give you so much more than what you asked for. And that's part of what I realized this week. So,
Hi, my name is Daniel Jobin. I believe this is my ninth year at teen camp, and I'm actually 23 years old. But, I don't know, one thing I really saw this week that I got delivered from that blew my mind away was, because, you know what I'm saying, I know my flesh, I know my heart, I know my weaknesses, I know my frailties, but God's still willing to work with us. He's placed his spirit within us, and in Christ we can rest in the fact that he knew what he was working with, and he still called us to do what he called us to do. So, and I was just, you know, sitting there in line and praying for you guys, and I know there's some of you here who think, yeah, this stuff's great, you know, but I know my life and I know my heart. Don't you realize the work of Christ is bigger than what you've done? Where your heart's been? You know, have you ever stopped and thought where that thought came from? Where that pressure's coming from? That stuff's from the devil. You guys got to wake up and see that. That, yes, we're weak. Yes, we fall short. Yes, we stumble time and time again. Yes, we're selfish. Yes, we're weak. The work of Christ is that big that we can walk for God in this life regardless of that stuff. And yeah, I mean, like I said, for those of you who look back on your lives and there's a lot of disappointment, you know, why not prove God now? Why not see his faithfulness time and time again? He hasn't given up on you, so. And we got this short period here on this earth to do what he's called us to do, and then we have eternal life. So, you know, even if you don't, you have eternal life. But why not serve a God and a Lord who's done so much for us? And, God really opened my eyes to that stuff, and I think I can speak on behalf of myself and everybody else that was at that camp. God's a lot bigger than I thought he was. So maybe allow God to show you how big he is and how powerful he is. And in light of all those weaknesses and frailties, God's much bigger than that stuff. And what he accomplished in Christ, man, that's eternal, baby. So love you guys.
Hi, I'm Jeannie McCracken, and I'm 19. I just look like I'm in my 50s, but this is my first teen camp on staff, and I feel like I grew 5 lifetimes in 1 week. And, you know, what Daniel was sharing about, you know, the stuff, you know, that this stuff is real and that we have to just make up our minds if we're going to do it or not. I learned a lot about myself. I saw a lot about the adversary and how, you know, how he influences me and thoughts, how to learn to be clear on what thoughts are from God, what thoughts are not from God, what thoughts are just my own thoughts. There was one section I think Tom went to in Luke 11:24-25 about the spirit that's cast out of a man. He goes and he tries to find a place where he can go to and comes back to that man. I'll just read it to you. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. And one of the things Tom said was the simplest way to guard our mind against devil spirits is to keep your mind full of God's word. We can furnish our home or our apartment. We can furnish our home with God's word, and then the devil spirits can't come in, you know. And I thought, that is so true, you know, and that's what we need to do is just furnish our mind with God's word. What my daughter shared about, you know, going back to what's comfortable. That's another thing that really hit me. You know, I know there's so many, you know, the adversary over my whole lifetime has been hitting me with stuff. And it's just so many times you just want to quit, but you can't, especially some of us older people. You know, we can't go back to what's comfortable. I learned so much this week. I don't want to go back to the old way I was before. You know, I want to, and we can, you know. I want to be like Joshua and Caleb. I want to go into the promised land with you kids. I want, you know, our generation, we don't have to be like the Israelites. We don't have to not go into the promised land. We can go into the promised land, you know. But it's up to us. And, gosh, there's so much we all learned this week. Ask us about it. We have a whole year now to just live it. You know, all of us, you know, the teens, the adults, we don't need to lose it. And So many things I could share. I learned how to be myself this week with who I am in Christ for, and not worry about what other people think. I think, you know, so much in my life, it doesn't matter what other people think. It just matters what God thinks of us. And I was really blessed by the song that Ken picked this morning, Chief of Sinners. But the last two lines, I think, can sum it up. All authority by birth to walk as he did on the earth. And we can walk like Jesus Christ walked on the earth. And that's what we've got the rest of our life to do until Christ comes back. So let's endeavor to do that.
I'm Mark Musel. I'm 17, and this is my fifth year at teen camp. And I'm just going to read a section of scripture for you real quick. It's not too long, but it'll be a bit. This is in Mark 9, verse 17. Then one of the crowd answered and said, Teacher, or I'll skip this part. I'll get to it. Okay. Excuse me. I have it written down, but I didn't really go over it. Okay. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? Jesus Christ is about to cast an unclean spirit out of a man, his son, actually. And this, it's sort of important to bring this up, but when it was being taught, the particular teacher said, because the son was incapacitated, the believing of the father was what was important to get it cast out of the child. So I'm going to keep reading. And he said, from childhood, and often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, you have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help me in my unbelief. And in light of this section of scripture, I really learned this week just to admit that I was a limiting factor as to seeing God work in my life. And this section of scripture was just so humbling to me because this man really had to get honest with himself and admit that he wasn't believing. And just in my life, like I said, the limiting factor is usually myself and it's always myself. And sorry. It's always myself. It's always my believing that is limiting what can be seen. And just to get honest and humble with myself, that's difficult sometimes, but it's worth it. To be able to share the gospel and to be able to change people's lives. I just have one more piece of scripture to share with you. It's in Psalm 51, verses 16 and 17. For you do not desire sacrifice. This is David speaking after the incident with Bathsheba. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. God wants humbleness from us. That's it.
Hi, I'm Rachel McCaw. I'm 17, and this is my fifth year at teen camp. I was in Angeline's fellowship, and... Well, I'll just read it to you and explain it later. She read us a line from one of Tom's songs. She'd been listening to it during free time, and it really pricked my heart. So, I was saved by a hand, not my own, not my own. A father's strong hand, not my own. Despite all my blindness, he touched me with kindness, and now I can call him my own. It was paid for with blood, not my own. Christ's precious blood, not my own. I tried to ignore it. Now I thank God for it. All that it called is my own. All because of a love, not my own. A father's strong love, not my own. It was freely shown to me. May it freely show through me as I walk through this world that is no longer my own. I guess this pricked me so much because it's easy to see the needs around you and to think, oh, I can take care of this and I can take care of that. But Am I trusting in myself or am I trusting in my God to make these things come to pass? I'm weak, you know. I'm frail, and it's like Daniel was talking about. I know the sin in my life, and I know what goes on in my heart, but, you know, that fear that holds me back from trusting in a God that has delivered me from so much, it deserves to be buried with Christ, because there is so much that we can do for one another as a body, and how dare I not do it because of my own fear when it's something that God is directing. It's not my own. It's of God. So that's what I got this year.
One further thing I got to comment on. Some of you older folks, older I mean like almost as old as me or even older than that, I realize a number of these young people are talking about their lack of ability. And I could hear the gears turning about why are they being so negative? Don't they know they should be positive? Don't they, you know, you should say good things about yourself. How's that worked for you? You know, God's word gives an honest evaluation of our ability when it comes to contending in the spiritual realm. And it's zero. It's less than zero. So if you think a better approach than believing God's word is to have self-confidence, how many miracles have you worked lately? How clearly have you heard the voice of God lately? These guys have. And, you know, more importantly than the fruit, God says that that's the way we are to value our abilities. And that's the way we are to treasure and be thankful for and put on his abilities. So just in case you're thinking of walking up to somebody later and saying, you shouldn't be so hard on yourself. It's an intentional choice they've made in light of the glory of God and his word, and a choice others might want to make as well. Okay? So.
My name's Sean. This is my first year as staff on teen camp. Just basically, I didn't really know what to expect when I got there. Just I got really blessed and really just, you know, you go there to serve and to be there to take care of God's people. And I guess I wasn't completely expecting to get my heart completely ripped open from the Word of God. And I'm so thankful that happened. You know, probably one of the biggest things that hit me was as well the love of God. There's a particular scripture that Josh went to. I think it's John 20 or 21, where Jesus comes to Peter after he's resurrected, and he asks Peter like three times if he loves him. The love he's talking about is this agape love, this devotional love. And Peter continually responds back to him, I phileo you, which that's an affectionate love. That's not a devotional love, that you're completely devoted to the love of this thing. And that really hit home with me, because you realize in the Word it talks about how you cannot serve two masters. You can't say, I love the Lord Jesus Christ, but then I also love this thing in the world or this thing in the world. And I really realized that the lack of revelation in my life, or the lack of miracles and the lack of these things in certain areas of my life, was because of the lack of the devotional love to my Lord Jesus Christ. And when I really got brutally honest in my own heart, then you can start taking those things out. You can start seeing and asking God to show you what's in your heart. And it's not always the easiest thing, because he will show you if you ask him honestly to show you. And it can be rotten. And, you know, it's just lay your heart out before him and ask honestly what's in my heart that needs to be weeded out. And I realized I had weeds in my heart and just realized if I want this to last for my whole life and I want a faithful walk with my Lord Jesus Christ and to help my brothers and sisters out, then I need to get honest and weed those things out so that I can serve Him with my whole heart. And so that's what I really learned. Thank you, guys.
Hi, my name is Jared Shroof. I'm 16. This is the first year I've been teen camp. First day that I got there, one of my best friends told me to really make sure I spend a lot of time in prayer because he told me that God will show me things that is on my heart that this week can take care of. And we got our itineraries, and one of the verses in there was Jeremiah 33:3, and it's call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And I heard that verse, and I decided to maybe go pray. And God really opened my eyes to a lot of things that I might have had buried deep in my heart. And one of the things that He showed me that was more true than I've ever heard before is that this world really doesn't have anything to offer us. And we all hear that and we all go, yeah, yeah. But that truth hit me, and man, I started thinking that, you know, in light of eternity, what's the stuff in this world that we do that matters? That really, to me, the only thing that I'm willing to fight for in this life is what God tells me to do. Because in light of eternity, that's the only thing that's going to help me when I'm buried in the grave. And that truth really, really hit me. And I really encourage all of you guys to be praying for all of us that just got back, because, man, I know for myself the adversary has already hit me harder than I've ever been hit in my life. So I really just encourage you guys to keep us in your prayers, because we really, really need it. Thank you, guys.
My name is Linda Buckingham, and this was my third year at the teen leaders, cooking for them with my husband David. And I just, during the weekend, I was talking to Tom, and we were talking about Philippians chapter 3 and the heart of Paul, the heart that he had, that he says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, what He has done for us, you know? And He doesn't say, you know, that I may get tons of people born again, or that I see tons of fruit in my life, but He just wants to know His Lord. He just wants to love Him and what He has done for Him. And, you know, He's setting Himself up as an example for whoever's reading this. And when you read Ephesians, you know, and the prayers in Ephesians, God's will is for all of us to come to know His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, we see the teens and how God has worked in their lives. That's not just for them, you know. The things that are done in the church is not just for the benefit of the teens, but for all of us. For all of us to rejoice with them. God is not just glorified with one or two or three individuals walking for Him, but for the church, for His people. You know, when you look around and we can be to God's glory together. Okay, sorry. And how beautiful that is, you know, and thank you. And I don't know, I just, I just remember that throughout the week, I know all of us as a church, we've been praying for them. You know, our fellowship, all of us have been praying for you guys. And then seeing God is answering our prayers, like all of us, you know, you guys are going to come here and edify us and we can grow as a church, you know, like, and God looks at us and he's blessed and he sees his children wanting to walk for him and love him more. Like, what a privilege that is to live for one another, you know, to live, to want to grow to the end that we have God's heart, you know, because God's heart is not just for my life, but for your life, for the church together to do this. You know, the Thessalonians, Josh did a teaching during the leaders that he said, you know, out of the Thessalonians, the word of God sounded out. It was from, like, them together, working together, you know? So I'm really, really excited to see what God's going to do in our lives as a church, you know? Let's not just put the expectations on the teens that, oh, they're going to do great, you know? But us, you know? Let's expect God to work in our lives together, you know? That we love one another, that we see God being faithful to all of us, you know? And how beautiful that is. We can all glorify God together, you know, and we can all reflect His Son, Jesus Christ. When somebody comes in the door that's a new person that has never been to this church, they're touched by Christ. They're touched by His Son because that person sees in all of us doing it. Not because we're so great. We all have shown that we're not great. But because He's so awesome when we're just sinners by grace. We're messed up sinners by grace and, you know, even if we don't do it perfect, you know, He's perfect. He's willing to work with us as messed up as we are, but we can be to His glory. So that's all I wanted to share.
Hi, my name is Sam Bankert. This was my third year at teen camp, and I had the awesome privilege to be a leader this year. And that... it was very humbling because, and it really taught me a lot just being in that position because with my fellowship, like, I didn't know their individual needs. It was like, but God did, so. And it just really took a big effect on my life, too, because I had been being very ignorant with listening to God. And, like, it was almost like I know what God's telling me, but I didn't want to hear it or I would still want to make my own choices, and it just really helped me realize, like, God knows so much more. God knows what's going to bless me more than I do, and it was very humbling, and it just really made, like, with manifestations, too, it made it so much more, I guess, comforting to know, just realize, like, I just listen to God and do what He says, and then He carries out the rest. Like, there's no, like, the hard part is all on Him, and He does that. And I just listen and do what He says to do. And it was just, it was very humbling, and I was just so blessed. So, that's all I wanted to say.
Hi, I'm Lisa Carter. And this was my first year on staff. I've been to teen camp as a teen a lot of years, but this was my first time on staff. And I think it's been 8 years since I was a teen till now, and every year I wanted to be on staff because teen camp always, for me, was so much time of deliverance. And so from when the time I was asked until then, I just really asked God to help me to humble my heart, that, well, most of you know I have two toddlers, and they take a lot of attention and a lot of thought, and I knew that that it had gotten too easy to just be comfortable, and I knew there were a lot of areas in my heart that I had just shut off to the Word of God, and I'm going to cry because I always cry, but... So we got there, and one of the first mornings together at the staff, there were manifestations about letting the light of God into your heart. And I was like, okay, God, show me. Don't let me hold anything back from this pride. And it was cool because he helped me, and he helped me see what was in my heart. And I thought I was walking in the Spirit, and I fell on my face, and that's putting it lightly. And just to have that week, to have so much of God's Word taught, to have so many, the kids, and I mean, I was more involved with the staff because we were all together, and to know that God has placed the Spirit within us, and he gives us the strength, and he gives us the power, and he also placed us here together to help each other. And just to see everybody work together and to see that deliverance, and then to see, oh, okay, well, this is not walking for God, okay, but this is, and to see how simple it is. And that was one thing Josh told me at the beginning of the week. I had some questions about, okay, how do you walk in the Spirit? How do you manifest the Spirit? I always thought that it was like tell me, use an example of a tool belt. You pull out these different tools. Or I thought of it more as I have the Spirit of God, so there's these different things that I can do. I can speak in tongues. I could heal someone. I could do all these things. But then I was like, okay, so how do I do it? There's no magic word. Like, okay. And it was the teaching on Corinthians 13 when Josh taught about you don't try to be patient. You don't try to be kind. It's you walk in love, and this is what's manifested. Just like you have the Spirit of God, and you walk in the Spirit, and that's manifested. You walk in that authority. And I was like, oh, that's what it is. It's not just I do something. It's just like the fruit of the Spirit. Those aren't things you work really hard at. It's God has given us this his Spirit. He's poured it out without measure, and we have the awesome privilege to walk in it. And like Josh said, it's really simple. it was just such a wonderful week to be able to see those things, to be able to work together. And it was so hot, and and we were so tired. But yeah, and those were always things I had allowed myself to be limited by. But you're in that situation, and I was telling Phil, it was almost good because it was like such a pressure cooker in so many ways. And the trying of our faith is so precious. Like, it's not just being tried. It's not just the testing that is precious. It's when you respond to that in faith and how we were able to do that together. And sorry if this doesn't make sense. It's like this whole intense week, and I'm trying to say it in 5 minutes. And the biggest thing is it's just so simple, and I thought it was so complicated, but it's not. It just all works together. It's the cross of Christ and the new birth we have and the power we walk in, and it's just that simple. So thank you.
So there you have it. I think Lisa sums it up for all of us. I think all of us kind of feel that way. It was so big, it may take us a few weeks to process everything we learned, but this might give you a taste of what went on last week. And I like to do this also just as a way of thanking you for praying for us, because I know so many of you were praying for us last week, more than usual, even because of the different conditions. You know, two of our men, Bruce and Jesse, you in here, you guys? There's Bruce. Jesse in here? No, probably with kids. Oh, there he is. Okay. They spent half their week down there putting up wires and generators and taking down wires and generators and putting up other wires and generators, and certainly went a long way towards helping us get through the week with our hot tubs intact and our, you know. No, I mean, you know, we had lights and we had water, and that was sure a blessing. And a couple people had air conditioning, the staff and folks. So, you know, I felt bad. They spent so much time on those grounds to bless us, and then I realized, why should I feel bad? They're doing it out of the love of God, as so many of you helped by your prayers in another way. So thank you for that, and thank you for sitting here all this time. I know it's a long amount of time, but it doesn't get boring to me. I don't think it's boring to you either, and I'm sure any of these folks, if they're in your home fellowship, would be blessed to share some of the things they learned from God's Word. We touched on some things today, but there weren't any real teachings. They probably have some good notes mixed in there with everything that God taught them on a more personal way. So thank you for being here today. We're obviously not going to close with a song since we're already 40 minutes later than we need to be going on a Sunday. God bless you. Thanks for coming. See you next week.